and welcome to the IndieGames.com podcast. This is the Minecraft special, and I'm Marcus Persson, the Notch Online, and I'm here with Tim and Mike, and we're going to talk a bit about Minecraft and hopefully Civilization 5.
That's true, but maybe not Civilization 5. Yes, we're going to do a Minecraft special this week and basically just ask Marcus many, many, many questions. We've got our own questions lined up, and also we've got loads of questions from people on Twitter who have got some crazy things to ask you. So, probably the best way to start is just to ask you to give us a description of yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm 31 years old. I like long walks in the woods, and I'm a game developer, I guess. I used to work as a Flash game developer, where I did lots of tiny games, but I got kind of bored of that and wanted to do my own thing, and that's how I got started with Minecraft.
Yeah, just wondering, it's kind of hard to describe the game Minecraft to someone who has not played it. So, like, say, for example, if you were to describe Minecraft in your own words, how would you do it?
I've tried to describe it several times. It's kind of difficult to come up with something that actually works. But I tried to just describe kind of what you do, that there's a bunch of blocks that you can pick up and move around and build castles with. And then there are monsters who try to kill you, more or less. So it's not really, I can't really think of like a genre name for it, but it's,
I guess sandbox is probably a good word. Yeah.
Addictive sandbox.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Marcus, you recently formed your own company, Mojang Specifications. Why did you form this company?
Yeah, I kind of realized that I needed help doing the stuff I can't do, like talk to business people and do some of the art and website development and stuff. And the game's getting really big now. So fortunately, I saved up all the money so I can just invest it in actually hiring people and getting an office and stuff like that. So the last couple of weeks has been mostly me going to meetings, talking to people, and trying to set that up. We think we have an office going, and we're 4 people already on board, and we're going to be about 6 or so in December is the plan.
Oh, amazing. So how exactly did Minecraft come about in the very, very beginning?
Yeah, the original idea was to take what's it called Dwarf Fortress and try to do a game like that, but much more accessible. Like strip away some of the overly complicated things that they're part of the charm in Dwarf Fortress, but I thought it was kind of interesting, kind of more advanced dungeon keeper game somewhere in there. And I tried doing a game like that, but in an isometric perspective, like Roller Coaster Tycoon. Mm-hmm. And I got pretty far. The engine was kind of working. There were blocks. The entire terrain was made out of like cubes. And you can destroy them. There were actually sloped cubes back then as well. So you could have sloped edges on the edges and stuff. And there were tiny characters walking around. And then I was working on like a first-person mode for similar to the Possess spell in Dungeon Keeper. And that's when I found the Infiniminer. And I really liked that art style because it's... I can draw that, and it's really and it's iconic as well. It's not; it doesn't try to be photorealistic.
Yeah,
it's more. I think it's slightly more accessible for getting to the mechanics of the game. So then I changed the game into just a first person type of thing.
Yeah, just wondering, have you spent time playing Dwarf Fortress?
I have spent time losing at Dwarf Fortress. Yes, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm terrible at it. I'm just horrible. It spirals out of control almost immediately. It's very fun.
Dwarf Fortress really scares me. I've tried doing it multiple times. I can't get my head around it.
Yeah.
There's stuff out actually. I guess someone's been making a mod that combines Minecraft and Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, there's some level conversion tool someone wrote. That's pretty cool. I haven't actually seen the levels though. I plan on trying it someday because. Would be interesting to see my failed fortresses.
Have you ever spoken to Tan Adams, the creator of Dwarf Fortress?
Yeah, I actually sent him an email, but I haven't spoken to him in person. But I sent him an email like asking if I could get permission to actually write a Dwarf Fortress level importer for Minecraft. I never got around to doing it, but he said, yeah, sure, there are the people who are making converters to different formats, and that wouldn't be a problem.
But if you're given a chance, would you think about like collaborating with him?
Yeah, I think I think he's one of those guys who probably
just want to work
I think he does the best kind of stuff when he's doing them on his own, I think. But I definitely would be interested in working with him, though, because I could learn a lot from him, and I like working with people I can learn from.
Well, okay, one thing that was interesting, I can't remember how long back it was, but you announced that you were collaborating with Hayden Scott Baron, Doc, and he was kind of going to do the graphics and stuff, but obviously that's kind of died out a bit now. What exactly happened there?
I'm not sure what happened. Nothing really came out of it. We were doing some like sketches, and we were working on getting a new character model going, but things were slow, and he was kind of involved with his other projects. I think he was doing Tumble Drop at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of basically just faded away. So eventually, because I was doing like a revenue split kind of thing with him, so eventually I just had to say that, yeah, we failed doing this thing, so let's just call it off. We're still friends, though. We have each other on Twitter and say hi every now and then.
Oh, cool. I guess the other interesting thing as well is the name Minecraft. Is it true that Paul Ayres came up with that name?
I honestly don't remember exactly who it was, but it was someone from ThinkSource.
Oh, cool. Nice. That's quite a claim to fame, really, I guess.
Yeah, it is. The original name was actually Minecraft, what was it? Order of the Stone or something? As a reference to Order of the Stick, the online comic. But I took that part out in like 2 days.
Yeah, okay, I have a question. In your opinion, why do you think Minecraft is as popular as it is now?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time trying to work that out, especially now that we're trying to form the company. Because now we kind of want to see like long-term plans and stuff like that, and what is the draw in Minecraft, and how long do we think it's going to like be successful and stuff like that. And I basically have no idea. I think it's partly it's a bit original. I think also since I focus on making a game I want to play myself, and that's a really good way of knowing your audience. If the target audience is yourself, then it's kind of easy to adjust the game for it, as long as you don't just keep making it more advanced. And also it's a big focus on the development from the start was to make it accessible. So it's you can just play it on the website or there's not really that many complicated things to learn about the game except for perhaps actually getting started. I think once you get into it after a few minutes, you kind of get hooked into it because it's just accessible all the time. But it's, I don't really know why it sold so well.
Probably a combination of everything.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see the Minecraft fire video? He tried to set fire to a log inside the house and burned the entire house accidentally.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think it's actually a bit... I think he planned that.
I was wondering if he planned it, yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's very funny, though. That's basically the kind of gameplay I've tried to make the game have. So you make mistakes and then you kind of blame yourself. It's kind
you must watch that kind of thing, though, and think to yourself, wow, this is actually the game that I made. Like, this video has now got 250,000 views on the internet. People find this video hilarious, and it is my doing that this video is here.
Yeah, that's the kind of weird thing to realize that, because I've been definitely on the other side of that, posting perhaps not videos but like talking about games other people have made, and now people are talking about a game I made, which is kind of weird but fun at the same time.
Yeah, I bet. What do you reckon is the best world that you have seen, or best server that someone has created up to now that has made you just think, wow, that's amazing?
Well, I have to say, the guy who made the Swedish Riksdagen, which is like the House of Parliament in Sweden, he made it for me as a like a birthday gift. Or
something. That's
No, it was actually, I think it was Christmas gift, actually, because it was a long time ago. But that was really impressive. But the most impressive stuff I've actually seen is the Portal mod for Minecraft Classic, which had like all the textures, if you put them in manually, and had actually working portals in multiplayer. You could like push the little companion cubes around, and really impressive stuff.
Yeah,
I remember that one. Is it still in development?
I don't know if they're still doing development, but they kind of, when I was playing that, I got convinced that I would have to support like dynamic downloading of textures from the servers and stuff like that. Because if people want to do that, then they definitely should. Those things are really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the best piece of feedback that you received for Minecraft, and the worst one?
Best feedback. I think, now, recently, I think the best feedback recently is when people say that they understand, like, that the development speed might be down because trying to set up the company and stuff like that. Those feedbacks, that's very good, because I want to do development. That's really what I want to do. So now I'm trying to set up the company to, like, enable me to get help in improve development speed. But yeah, recently there haven't been that many updates because of, like, setting up the company and server crash recently and stuff like that. So I think that kind of feedback really, like, helps bring the mood up. And then the worst are probably when just people get, like, personal and nasty and, like, try to insult me and stuff like that. That was kind of...
What's the worst insult?
Oh, I don't know. I think, yeah, probably shouldn't say, because then the trolls have stuff to say. But that was kind of, the insult thing was worth the first, like, half a year or something, because then I took things kind of personal. But now I just, it's like, YouTube comments. It's just people being anonymous.
Yeah. People are on the internet, they're behind the keyboard, so they don't need to worry about what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously, recently, there have been a number of server overloads with the crazy amount of people that have been appearing on it. So do you foresee any more free weekends in the near future?
Yeah. It's kind of like a big priority that people who have paid for the game should be able to play the game. And so as a result of that, when the service crashed, I kind of had to put it up there just free. But then it turned out to be kind of a good PR thing as well. So I might do free work and weekends just for the PR.
Yeah.
Just get people to try the game.
What's the toughest thing that you had to implement in Minecraft?
The toughest thing? I think the water is actually... I spent several times doing different versions of water, and I had kind
that
of...
That got in very early, right?
Yeah, and I had a kind of working one for the old... when the levels were limited in size. But then when I moved to infinite levels, or they're not actually infinite, but just like 8 times the size of Earth or something.
Larger,
but, yeah, they're really huge now. And then, since it doesn't keep the entire level in memory, it can't really do like a non-local model where it checks like the highest connected points or something, because then it has to load the entire map to check that. So I had to make a purely local model, which was really like complicated problem. I won't say I'm happy with the current version, but I think it kind of fits because you can use it, and that's good enough for now. But it's one of those things I'm probably going to rewrite later on.
Yeah. Yeah, you were just saying about the size of a Minecraft map. So if I was to say, I've never tried this because I think it would be crazy, but if I was to set off and just keep walking in a straight line, how long would it take me to walk around an entire Minecraft map?
Ooh, I haven't done the math on that, but that's probably going to take you a very long time.
Yeah. Are we talking days? Weeks?
I think probably in weeks, yeah, I think probably. It's about 8 times the size of Earth, so
yeah.
I don't know how long would it take to walk around there, yeah.
You need to implement some planes so we can get about the place.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus, I didn't want to be the one to ask this question. What do you plan to do with the money you've made from the sales of Minecraft?
The first thing is investing it in the company. And then hopefully that's going to make me even more money. And then I'm going to probably get an apartment.
I saw on Twitter you were saying that you were looking for offices. And you were saying one of them had a sauna in it?
Yeah, it had. It was really cool. It was two floors. It wasn't really huge floors, but the bottom floor had like a large like reception area and a sauna. And the top floor had a kitchen and some workspace. So it was really cool because we could have like a gaming space on the bottom floor and a sauna. But we didn't get that one, unfortunately.
I would have been all over that. Obviously, this stuff's been happening with PayPal at the moment. So what exactly is happening? What is the big picture?
Well, with PayPal, they limited my account because I started selling lots of copies and they got scared, more or less. The main problem I have is that they didn't give me any information, and they basically lied to me because the information I got was that the account was limited because there was a suspicious withdrawal or deposit. So it didn't even say if it was a suspicious withdrawal or deposit. It was one of them. And when I called them, they said they were investigating, and it would be like it would get back to me in a couple of days. But it didn't, and it took 3 weeks. And then when they finally unlocked it, they put on this like rolling reserve, which is 5% of all the money that comes in. They lock for 90 days. So I get all the money, but it's like a delay of 90 days, so 5% of the money. And apparently that's because they're afraid, like, if I get hit by a train or something, and people start like, oh, I want my money back, but because I won't be able to finish the game, then PayPal's going to lose a lot of money. So that's basically what they're afraid of. I can kind of understand them, but it's still, I think they're... The customer service is just horrible.
Yeah, yeah. I like when you think about dying, you think you're going to get hit by a train. It's pretty nice.
Yeah,
it's a good way to go, really.
Yeah, it's probably very fast.
Okay, I have a question. Do you feel annoyed that most of the talk about Minecraft now is on the topic of how much money it makes?
Yeah, it's. I think that's because big mainstream press. And I think like indie games, like there's no money in it and stuff like that. So I think that's people get really surprised when indie game makes a lot of money. And I know there are other indie games who make a lot of money as well, but they don't really talk about how much they make and they keep it kind of secret. Mm-hmm. So I might be one of the first people who really talk about it. I know 2D Boy has, those guys have been kind of open with how much money they make and they made a lot of money as well. But
why is it important to you to have like the stats freely available and live as well, just at the top of your site?
I think originally I just wanted to like show people like some kind of transparency, like I'm making this game and this is how well it's going for me and stuff like that. At this point, it seems almost like I'm bragging, but I'm really not. It's just because I've always had it. I think it's part of like the whole transparency thing I was going for in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Have you employed some kind of financial advisor to aid you in your monetary ventures?
Yeah, like counting the money.
Yeah, we have an accountant now, and actually we're speaking to a like real talented CEO who's coming on board, and he knows a lot about how to like properly deal with money. He actually made a budget. That's really impressive. I had none of that. Yeah, it's for like, because the plan is I'm going to keep working on Minecraft and then I'm going to get some help. But at the same time, I'm going to hire more people and develop a second game in parallel. And perhaps once both of those games are done in the future, we'll, as a company, get together and make like a third game, like a larger game. It's kind of the plan. And just to get the budget working for the second game and for how many people we can be and stuff like that. But yeah, it's budget. You never know. It's just imaginary numbers for potential futures, but it's fun.
Yeah. I was just looking because Tim has been collecting some of the things that Paul Ayres has been working out, because, you know, he loves his numbers, does that guy. And and one of the most interesting things is the fact that it says last week, I don't know if that was last week or the week before that, but it says last week Minecraft was the 13th best-selling game in the world. Even beating StarCraft 2. So that's
what?
That's pretty mental. I don't know if that's 100% true. But according to Paul, it is, and I'm not gonna say he's wrong.
That is pretty crazy. Yeah. I know, like when I got back from when the server crash had been, and I got back and the sales kind of shot up a bit because people hadn't been able to buy for a few days. Mm-hmm. Then I was making more money per day than my last job. Like higher, yeah. But that was just for one day. They make a lot of money every day. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going to happen then? You've got what, like over 200,000 sales now. So yeah. What is going to happen when the sales inevitably start to drop off? Will you continue to update the game, or will you try and move on to something new?
Well, I'm going to keep working on the game for as long as there's at least some sales in it, because I think there's a lot of potential in stuff I can add to the game, and I really want to add that. So yeah, the thing I want to do is kind of work on Minecraft, and as long as I can do that financially, then I'm going to keep working on it. And also, when I stop working on Minecraft, I'm going to release it as open source so people can still keep working on it.
Nice.
But when it starts dropping, that's probably when we're going to start pushing the new game.
Is the new game in production at the moment?
No, not yet. It's kind of pre-production.
Okay.
Because people are still employed and have like several months' notice in Sweden.
Okay, fair enough.
Can you like give us some special information about that other game that you're planning to do?
I'm not going to be the guy actually in charge of it in the company. I'm getting a friend of mine to actually be in charge of doing that one, and I don't know how he wants to do like his promotion of it. But it's not going to be the same kind of game as Minecraft. It's going to be fairly different. It's still a game that we want to play, and it's a game we've been talking to each other about for a long time. So in that kind of sense, it's the same kind of philosophy behind it, but it's definitely a different kind of game.
Cool. Right. Let's talk about the future of Minecraft. So let's start with what exactly are we going to be seeing in the next weeks and months being added to Minecraft? Is there any big updates that we're going to see?
I think the biggest focus is on getting survival multiplayer to have all the features of single player survival mode. It's like monsters can actually hurt you and tools that don't regain health when you drop them. And more cheat protection so server admins can kind of regulate how much people can actually cheat and grief on their servers. But that's basically all that's remaining up until beta. Then I might still add new features and new blocks and stuff, but nothing major is planned like that. Mm-hmm. But once we're in beta, which hopefully should be this year, I just don't know how much I have to develop yet, but hopefully. But in beta, we're going to do the modding support so people can write actual mods on the servers.
So when have you got an idea in your head of when you want Minecraft to be finished? Or is it ever going to be finished? Even when it's finished, are you going to keep adding to it?
Yeah, we're going to have some kind of version that we call like the finished version, but we're still going to keep working on it, or at least I am. There's so much you could add to this game. So once we're in beta and have the multiplayer working, it's going to be like a period of actual like tweaking and balancing, perhaps going through the like performance again, changing the save format to something less like spammy, because the current save format has like bunch of files. It should really just be one file per se. Yeah, and that's once that's all polished and done and all that, then we're going to be like in the final version, which would still get updated afterwards.
All right, Marcus, just wondering, are you tired of working on Minecraft all the time or talking and thinking about Minecraft every second of the day?
If I'm tired of it? No, yeah. Surprisingly not. I had this like 6 months ago or something. I started like feeling overworked.
Because it's been like a very long while since you started Minecraft, like last year,
and yeah,
you've been working on it daily.
Yeah, but yeah, surprisingly not. I've made sure to like not work on it on weekends, or at least try not to, and like take evenings off and stuff like that. And once I really got good at making sure I didn't work on weekends, then it got much easier. Then I can like force myself to quit while I'm doing something fun, and then it's much more fun to get back to it in the next day. Because otherwise I could just stay and work until really, really late, and then I finish the fun thing. Then when I get back to the computer, I just have to start with something new or do something boring, and then it's not as fun.
I know what I want to ask you. I wanted to ask you about your trip to Valve, because I kind of want to know how this came about. So what, did they just email you saying, we really like your game, can you please come and see us?
They actually did email me, but I missed the email. So... Yeah, so then they put up the thing on the Team Fortress 2 blog, because it's the Team Fortress 2 team that kind of started playing Minecraft and wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
But then they flew me over there, and I spoke to them and such, and I think, yeah, Valve in the past, they've hired a lot of like indie game developers and mod developers, like Turtle Rock guys and the people who made like Portal and stuff like that, and that's basically what they do. So I had this feeling that they were trying to try to recruit me.
Yeah.
But I said so, but they still flew me over there and we talked, and I think they wanted to see kind of who I was and stuff like that. And
was it tempting when they were saying, you know, maybe you want to kind of move your game over to us?
Yeah, I don't know. The Bellevue area is really beautiful and kind of reminds me of Sweden in several ways. But yeah, I kind of got my life going on here in Sweden, and I'm engaged now, and like got this apartment and stuff like that. So I'm not really that interested in moving actually. But hopefully I like got like a foot in the door, so we can get the game on Steam easier or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you had the money to make anything at all, to do anything at all, or make any game, what would you make?
If I had the money,
You already do, so you know it's kind of redundant.
Yeah, and if I had the time as well, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, I have this game I've been thinking about for a few years, or perhaps longer. That's like a space trading simulator game that actually done in like a personal and fun way instead of this kind of distant way that most of them done in. Like when you're playing like EVE Online, you see like the ship in third person, which I think is a really like distant way of experiencing like the world. It's like you're observing some kind of simulation instead. So I want to do something that's a bit more personal and like you're actually in the ship. Like the original Star Trek series, but like first person.
This is quite a broad question and an annoying question. If you had to define indie, then how exactly would you do that?
Well, I think like the literal description is a company that's not bound to another one because like they don't have a publisher with a bunch of deals and they can make their own decisions about the games. I guess that's kind of literal description of it, but that's not my really emotional description of it. To me, it's more like garage bands for music, that kind of thing where you're just doing it out of the love of doing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, I guess. And it's also perhaps somewhat related to not necessarily trying to be mainstream and just exploring interesting parts of the games and stuff like that. But it's really, it's like asking what is art. It's really, you just get into arguments if you start talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Is Minecraft art?
No, I don't think Minecraft is art.
You just have to ask that, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on the indie game development scene and prospects? Like maybe you can weigh in your opinion on why so many indie developers out there are struggling financially?
I think if you make like a decision to not necessarily be mainstream and not go through the normal channels, then you're going to always be fighting kind of an uphill battle. Because the large publishers they've got a really efficient system in place and they really know how to like get people to actually pay crazy amounts of money for games. And if you're trying to make games that you yourself find interesting, then the market's probably going to be smaller. But I think a lot of indie game developers are actually underestimating themselves. I think several don't even try to charge for the games, and some don't want to charge for them, which is fine. But the people who like want to make it and they don't even try to charge, that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I can think of a few examples.
Yeah. But this is like on the internet. The internet is a huge market, and if you like your game, then it's going to be other people who like your game. If you just give them like an interesting reason to actually pay for the game, then you're gonna get some sales, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for other indie developers out there who look up to you as a source of inspiration?
Yeah, I think one thing I learned is. If you focus on accessibility, it doesn't have to be polish at all, just accessibility. Like, what is the thing that you do in your game? If you're making like a chess game, then you're probably going to look at a board and move pieces. Just take those fundamental things that you do a lot and make them accessible and fun. If the core thing you're doing in the game isn't fun, then the game itself suffers. It's kind of what old games used to suffer from. They could have really interesting mechanics behind them, but they were kind of hidden behind an annoying UI or something. Like in Dune 2, you couldn't select several units at once, and you had to press move to move them and stuff like that. It was kind of annoying to play. And I think if you actually look at what the players are actually doing, like the immediate interactions, and try to polish those, then I think you get kind of a fun feeling in the game just from that.
So I think we've grilled you enough now with our questions. So let's jump on the old Twitters and see what people have been asking. So we've got a question from Pacoito, and he asks, how does it feel when you make $2 million with a game that's still in the early development stages?
It doesn't feel real at all. I haven't touched a lot of the money. I think the biggest thing I've ever bought was like the Cintiq touchscreen Wacom thingy. But other than that, I've just saved up all the money. So my day-to-day life hasn't changed that much.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, now, especially when I'm actually trying to start a company, it feels a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, but
Guzmat asks, as features have been added, Minecraft has become more CPU hungry. Do you have any plans to go back and optimize the code?
Yes, I definitely do. I think I might wait until beta though, because as I optimize code, I make it kind of harder to read as well. And now when I'm debugging multiplayer, I want to keep it easy to read. Yeah, but I'm definitely going to optimize the game again. And I'm going to put back the ability to have limited maps so they're not infinite. And that should probably help a lot of people on laptops.
Cool. Sophie H, or Sophie Holden, asks, does there come a point after selling so many copies where what the customers want trumps what you actually want to do with the game?
No, I don't think so. I think part of the reason that people kind of like the game is because they know that I have kind of a vision and I'm trying to make the game the way I want it to be. I know I personally wouldn't really like it if I could like tell, like my favorite band, like what kind of song they should make, because I kind of trust in them to do something that I really like. Mm-hmm. And same with other game developers as well. I want them to try to make something original, not the things I ask for.
Okay. Kelzo asks, are there any plans to move Minecraft from a Java base to something like C++?
Not at the moment, though. There are, like, if you ever want to put it on consoles, we're going to have to do that. Yeah, right now there are no plans to move it, but it might happen in the future.
C. Hooligans asks, do you have an expected date when both the beta and the final version will be out?
Unfortunately, I don't dare guess even at this point, because... Yeah, my calendar is just, it used to be like my Google calendar on my phone used to be just white and empty and nice. Mm-hmm. But now there's like one or two dots every day with like meetings or phone calls and stuff like that, which unfortunately digs into development speed quite a lot. But the plan is do all this so I can actually increase the development speed like in December or something.
Jordan Roher asks, any plans to improve the Monster AI? Because he thinks that it would be neat to see them like figure out doors, you know, like the raptors from Jurassic Park.
Not really, no. I'm a bit fond of like old school enemy design, which is basically the enemies kind of cheat and they're predictable, but they kind of design in that way, so you don't really consider it cheating. Like perhaps in platformer games when enemies would just jump in predictable patterns, but it was still difficult because the pattern was so like over the top. I think that kind of game enemy design is more interesting because then, well, partly I don't have to spend that much CPU time on actually the AI, and I think there's a nicer distinction between the enemies and the other players in like multiplayer.
Okay, Baby T asks, do you find yourself listening to all the people who moan about the lack of recent updates, and what do you think of these people?
Well, I do understand where they're coming from, because I feel the same thing. I feel frustrated that I haven't been able to actually do any like development. And when I tried to do a Friday update, I just crashed the server. So
it's a nice update.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating at the moment. And I definitely understand people who feel frustrated with it. Some of them could be nicer, but I don't get that offended by it. So it's not really that big of a problem.
Cool.
Grammar Failure asks, how do you feel about C Nanners and the YouTube bunch for making your game insanely famous?
Yeah, it's I've never been really that into the YouTube scene. I wasn't like even aware that there were like celebrities in the YouTube world, because I was just looking like at Let's Plays or like Nintendo ROM hack reviews and stuff like that. That's all I did on YouTube. But it's fun because those guys get a lot of views, and they seem to be like, yeah, they have this kind of weird connection to their audience, and I appreciate it a lot.
Architect the Mad asks, when you went to visit Valve, did they give you a hat? Because they do like hats, apparently.
Oh, no, I didn't get a hat.
That's
a shame.
Yeah. The one from Darkiefster. He's removed all the vowels. How are you meant to even read that? Okay, he asks...
I need about 15 minutes to read this.
What does he ask? He asks, you have suddenly become famous and wealthy. Do you worry that this could be more of a handicap than a help with the development of MC?
No, I haven't really worried that much about it. I think since I'm starting the company, it's definitely had like a short-term impact on development speed. But I think hopefully it's going to actually increase the development speed. As when we're hiring people for the company, I want to keep the company size down, because I don't believe that you get a better game from having just hundreds of developers. It depends. Like if you're making like a AAA game and you need lots and lots of art, then you're going to need to have that many people. But for a game like Minecraft, I don't believe that more people makes a better game. So I think as long as we kind of play it cool, we should be fine.
Cool.
Cheetah Guy asks, what are your tools of the trade? I'm presuming that he's asking about development tools and engines and things like that. But you basically code in Java, right?
Yeah, I code in Java. Then I use LWJGL. Which is the lightweight Java gaming library or something. That's for getting OpenGL through Java. And that works really well. And the guys who did that have done a really good job on it. As for the development, actually, for the IDE, I use Eclipse.
Kostiak, I guess that's his name. He asks, other than survival mode, are there any other game modes that you're intending to put in the final release?
Yeah, it's the plan now is to have three different kind of game modes, which one would be the creative mode, where you can build anything without having to gather the resources. Survival mode, where you can there are monsters and you can kill them, and you can kind of change the terrain. And then there's adventure mode, where you can only kill monsters, but you can't change the terrain. So the idea is that if you make a map, like a challenge map or like some speed running map or something, then you can give to other players and they play it in the adventure mode, which so you won't be able to change by changing the level.
Mm-hmm. Pointy Stick asked when he could expect, like, say, an official texture update for Minecraft.
Yeah, the how to deal with the textures depends kind of. We're talking to a couple of artists now about hiring mm-hmm. them. But it depends on kind of what they want to work on, if they want to work on the new game or Minecraft. Because I've been speaking to other guys online who might be able to like help me out there. Like the guy, oh, I forgot his name, but the guy who did Paint Lily Pack, he seems really eager to get like his resources into the game. So might actually do something where you can select what kind of texture pack you want to use or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be nice if there was kind of like a texture options where you could, you know, download any mod that somebody had created and just kit your world out in kind of their style.
Yeah. And then I could, like, the ones that are really good, I could, like, purchase a license to put them officially in the game or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is an interesting question. What Ep asks, how long did it take to hit the sweet spot for procedural world generation? So I guess how much did you mess around before you finally were exactly where you wanted to be with it?
I don't really know how much time it was, like, in development time, but when I changed generation over to the like 3D voxel based generation that has the overhangs and stuff like that, that's when I really like started feeling happy with like the terrain. I don't think it was that many like actual hours of development. It was more like me thinking about it and doing small tweaks and then thinking about it some more for like several weeks and doing a small tweak. Because that kind of development is I just love procedural generation and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Noe Kite asks, what were your biggest challenges in the early stages of creating Minecraft?
I think I remember when I did like the new lighting that had like actual shadows and that you can place torches and stuff like that. I had lots of troubles actually getting that to run fast because it's basically a base limited 3D flood field. There's a lot of like array lookups and it's not really cache friendly on the CPU and it gets really slow and weird, and there were weird bugs. And there still are a couple of weird bugs that they can't reproduce easily and stuff like that. So the lighting was definitely like a huge, basically nightmare.
So Paul G. Lawrence asks, what is your view of what the final completed Minecraft is going to look and play like? How will it differ from now?
I think one of the major things is it's going to be even easier to actually get involved with the game, like to get people to actually like realize that they can press I to actually open inventory, and perhaps having some way to actually finding recipes in game, and also to have the multiplayer and single player properly integrated. So you can, when you're playing single player, you can invite friends directly into that game. Hopefully the performance is going to be better as well. It's one of my goals. And then hopefully there's going to be some kind of narrative in the game. Like there's some kind of overarching goal that you could reach. But the idea is to have it really difficult. So it's like, it would be like net hack. Like you don't win the game. You just hear about other people winning the game.
Awesome.
Yeah, this question is actually to determine whether indie or not.
Ah.
So it goes like this. Do you code in a nude? Like, okay. Don't wear anything.
Do I code in a nude?
Yeah. Yes. Are you naked? Are you naked when you're...
Oh.
Are you naked now?
I am not naked now. I've been... but there are days when I'm in my underwear for far too many hours.
Nice. I think this needs to be a question we ask each week, to be honest.
That's
very enough for us. All right, Marcus, is there anyone that you'd like to thank before you sign off?
Yeah, there's like all the players and everyone helping out with the game, and especially like C14 for his awesome job with the music and the sound effects. I know he's like going to be away a lot next year because of his like government duty thingy, but I think he's doing a really great job.
Nice. So yes, we have come to the end, and need to say thanks to Soli for his amazing intro/outro for the podcast. You should check out his stuff. I'll provide a link in the post. Yeah, we'll provide links in the post as well to pretty much everything we've talked about, all the different elements, any other games we talked about, etc. Thanks for listening, and if you've got any ideas, obviously we did this week's podcast much different from last week's. If you've got any ideas of things you want us to include or get rid of, etc., just let us know. Thanks to everybody who tweeted with messages for Marcus, and that's about it. So yeah, see you next week, I guess.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.